It was a part of the coronation wedding tradition for the daughters of the high nobles of Ceredigion to hold the train of the new queen as she approached the fountain for the rite. It was a solemn and momentous occasion that had not been performed since Severn's first wife, Lady Nanette, had become queen following his usurpation of the throne. And the shadow of that event hung over the gathering. Trin felt the tension in the hall as she carried Genevieve's gauzy veil with the other girls. All the lords of the realm had gathered at King Fountain for the coronation, including the previous king. Severn's black hair was well silvered, and he looked haggard and in ill health. Lady Catherine stood by his side, their arms interlinked. For a moment, his stern gaze seemed to narrow on Trin, and she felt a tremor of fear at having been singled out, only to realize that he was looking past her to his daughter, Morwenna. As they passed the nobles dressed in their finely cut doublets and vests, displaying for all to see the growing wealth and dominion of Ceredigion, Trin realized her gown was a bit on the simple side. Her father, who smiled at her as they passed, was also simply dressed, though he wore the double badge of his two duchies, the Aurum. Grand Duke Maxwell of Brugia, who stood near her father, had a sardonic look that rivaled Severn's. It was clear he was not happy being a vassal of Ceredigion, the consequence of a lengthy, arduous war instigated by his ill-conceived siege of Calais, back when Trin had been injured. The armies of Ceredigion had waged a full-scale assault on Brugia's domain, breaking city after city, disrupting trade with blockades, and grinding down Maxwell's army month after bitter month. Eventually, there was nowhere left for Maxwell to run. Though he had successfully dragged on the negotiations for his surrender for nearly a year to ensure that his son, Prince Elwis, would rule after him and not be supplanted by one of King Drew's favorites. Because the procession of the queen was slow and ponderous, Trin flicked her eyes to the prince. Elwis was a tall and slender young man of 18, with a very fair complexion and hair so blonde it was nearly white. He wore the Brugian style of doublet, very opulent, with frilly lace at his wrists, and a wide neck ruff that looked silly at King Fountain, but was considered the height of fashion in his realm. It made him look like a strutting peacock, and any semblance of handsomeness he may have possessed was further marred by his discontented frown. "So many of King Drew's nobles are disaffected," Trin thought sadly. Her father had tamed all of the men instead of destroying them. But they resented him for it. She could feel that seething emotion bubbling beneath their veneer of goodwill at the gathering. The procession stopped as the hymn the chapel choir was singing reached its culmination. She had stopped on a black tile on the checkered floor, and that felt unlucky, so she shuffled her steps until her slippers were touching a white one. Then she turned her eyes to friendlier faces. Iago and his wife were beaming with love and joy for their daughter, who would become the most powerful woman in all the realms. Standing in the same line, Fallon was looking at her. He winked and then made an exaggeratedly grotesque face, his attempt to make her break countenance. That boy could never be serious, even during such a solemn occasion. She gave him an icy look before shifting her gaze back to the assembled lords. There was Duke Raimi with his balding pate, stifling a yawn on his clenched glove. She also saw Lord Amrian, the king's chancellor and master of the Espeon, his eyes darting to the various spies planted throughout the hall acting as guests and bodyguards. He looked very worried, as if he were expecting an archer to suddenly appear. Trin felt her father's magic joining the turbulent waters of the fountain. She sensed it like an ever-present feeling of comfort. Her father was one of the most powerful fountain blessed in all the kingdoms. The only ones who were stronger in the fountain were possibly Trin's mother and the wiser Myrdan himself. She caught sight of the wiser as they began ascending the steps to the fountain. He was a dumpy-looking fellow that looked more like a wandering pilgrim than an all-powerful wiser. He wore sandals that were chafed and broken and exposed some hairy ankles. His middle was girded with a leather belt, and his dark hair was silvered at the ears and thick and wavy. Myrdan had a prom.